This is Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm John Gatto. Since 2007, the United States has seen the greatest amount of sustained unemployment since the Great Depression. Western Wisconsin-based Workforce Connections, a private nonprofit organization focused on helping people gain employment, produces a report each year on the job climate in the region that informs area businesses and policymakers. This year's report, released last month, focuses on the impact that the recession has had on the job market and what the future holds. Director of Corporate Development and Research, Beth Sullivan, authored the report. Its findings suggest it will take several more years for the economy to recover to a state of full employment. She spoke recently with WPR's Steve Rysom, who asked her to begin by explaining what full employment is and why it's expected to take so long to get there.
Full employment used to be considered around 6% until the economy was in a really tight labor market in the 90s. And due to demographics, we were down to unemployment rates in the 3s and 4%. And we were looking into what was officially called the untapped labor pools to find workers. When the economy had picked up, we have seen double-digit unemployment rates up into the 10%. We're lucky in western Wisconsin that we've always had a lower than the state and national average unemployment rate, and our highest rates got up into the 9s. It is going to take years to recover because some of the jobs that were lost were jobs that will never come back. Manual labor jobs, perhaps, that have been replaced by technology, especially in the manufacturing field. We've seen manufacturing go from hands-on manual labor through the decades. It's become very mechanized and very computerized. Where it might have taken men or women to do a job, it now takes a machine and someone that can operate computers to operate that machine. Another reason is the confidence level that employers have right now is not as high as it was before the recession. Employers, until they're confident that the economy is going to recover, hold back on hiring full-time. They'll put in measures such as overtime. They will go to seasonal workers or temporary workers. If you talk to the temporary employment agencies, they have seen employment rates pick up because it's easier for a manufacturer or for an employer to hire a worker through a temporary agency than to put someone on full-time. So until that confidence comes back, we'll see unemployment rates stay high, but they are coming down. We, in western Wisconsin, we're down about a point from where we were even a year ago. So
is that substantial?
Right now in western Wisconsin, the unemployment rate is 5.9%, and a year ago it was at 6.8. And in Wisconsin, the unemployment rate is 7.0, and in the United States it's 9.2. We're getting back to what might be considered full unemployment or close to it.
Why does western Wisconsin seem to fare better than in the rest of the country?
Our economy in western Wisconsin is more diverse than in other areas of the country. For example, if we look at Detroit and the automakers, that whole industry, that whole state is focused around the auto industry. And when consumers decide not to buy autos, if it's in a recession, the whole economy goes down. Here in western Wisconsin, we are focused on manufacturing. We have a lot of governmental jobs with Fort McCoy. We have educational jobs through our good school systems and our three post-secondary institutions in the area. And we have two very large healthcare providers. Two of the businesses or sectors that are unaffected by recession are education and healthcare. You have to have the teachers. You have to have people to take care of your citizens, especially older citizens. What was astonishing this year about this recession was we actually saw healthcare laying off workers. And that's when it became very obvious that this was more than just a small recession. It was long term.
The report also shows the state had 15%, and I've not heard this term before, underemployment in July of 2010, and western Wisconsin was about 6.7% underemployment. Can you explain what that term means? Is it people that are not getting their 40 hours a week?
No, underemployment is where you may have the education and skills that that are above the job you're currently in. For example, we've heard several retail employers in the area or fast food employers say that for every job opening, they just have a myriad of applications, anywhere from PhD levels, really? Master prepared, down to a high school education. So with the recession, with people being laid off and being, I think I heard the statistics at one point that there were 7 or 8 applicants for every job at least. There were people that were getting jobs just to survive that were overqualified. So they are called underemployed.
With some of the people you've seen, how long have they been unemployed or underemployed? Well, let me go with unemployed.
During this recession was one of the periods of the longest unemployment tenures since the Great Depression. When we did this report, there were a substantial number of people that had been out of work for more than a year, for it going on 2 years. That typically doesn't happen. I mean, the state has your unemployment compensation. You get 26 weeks, so you get a half a year. We know that Congress extended that a couple of times just to keep people to be able to sustain themselves. But we have seen very long unemployment rates. The average number of weeks of someone that was unemployed was 29.3 weeks. This was in these were the statistics that came out in February. So 29.3 weeks was average. As you go up in age cohort, that gets longer. The average number of weeks for someone 55 years and older was 35 weeks. And for what you would call your prime working years between 25 and 54 was 30 weeks.
Recently we had the elections, and Governor-elect Scott Walker is promising to create 250,000 private sector jobs by 2015. Is that realistic?
Oh, I'm not an expert in that. But I do know that the Center on Wisconsin Strategy said that we need 205,000 jobs just to catch up to where we were before the recession. We lost 155,000. And losing 155,000 jobs plus adding the labor force, the growth in the labor force of people entering the labor market, we need 205,000 jobs to catch up. That might be where the number is coming from. In order to create that many jobs, the confidence level in the economy is going to have to pick up. Employers will not put on new jobs until they're sure that the economy is going to be stabilized and consumer demand is going to go back up.
With every year that something like this happens and we have graduates from, you know, technical colleges and stuff, are we going to just see an increasingly crowded workforce? More people coming into it, only so many jobs?
That will happen. I mean, that's happened throughout history. You can say that we've had more and more people coming into the job. What's happening right now is the people that are nearing retirement age, you know, our big baby boomer generation that was supposed to be leaving the workforce by droves and creating a labor market shortage, they're actually staying in the workforce longer. The report does give some statistics about the number of people staying in the workforce. We've seen it at the job center that we have older workers coming in looking for jobs, people that had said, well, we're going to retire, you know, by the time we're this age, that are not able to retire either because the retirement accounts have lost money, the housing market has gone down, they don't have the equity in their house. And some of it is people just want to work. We're healthier longer, we live longer, and people want to do meaningful work. We found that out about 4 years ago in our state of the workforce when we asked different generations about when you plan to retire. We found that our retirement age in our area was going up even then. And the number of people that are not wanting to think they will retire after the age of 70 has gone up substantially.
Have more men or women suffered from unemployment? I came across the term when I read the report, man-session.
Man-session.
So maybe that probably is an answer right there. Could you kind of illustrate what's going on?
Man-session was actually a term that a professor of economics at the University of Michigan coined. And what we're seeing in this recession as in other recessions, is men are hit higher with unemployment. That's due primarily to the sectors that are hit more by a recession. For example, manufacturing is very highly impacted by recessions. People, the demand for goods goes down, and manufacturers are affected by the recession. Manufacturing is an industry that's predominantly male-centered. You won't find a lot of women in manufacturing, some, but it's predominantly male. The same thing goes for the construction industry. Construction is very hard hit by recessions, and it's a predominantly male industry. If you look at other goods and services, they're predominantly female-centered. Males make up 79% of good-producing industries, but only 46% of the goods and services. So education, health care, those types of things. And it's the good-producing industries that are hit hardest. What we found during this recession is actually, for the first time, as the economy is coming out of the recession, women are holding the spot as holding a higher percentage of the labor force. We are actually slightly above 50% right now. And the man session is a term that's saying, is this going to be something that is institutionalized? Are women going to take over being a more dominant factor in the workforce? I think the latest statistics that we put out, and women actually made up 50.3% of the labor force, and men are at 49.7. We also see that term, or that same phenomena, happening in higher education, where women are making up more of the student population than men. So economists are looking at this to saying, is this going to hold? What's going to happen? Because typically, as you come out of a recession, those good-producing industries tend to hire more men, and it shifts. It shifts back to having men more predominant in the workforce. So it'll be interesting to see.
You're listening to Newsmakers on WHLA. We're talking with Beth Sullivan of Workforce Connections on the State of the Workforce Report 2010. The report suggests that there is a major skills gap between what businesses are looking for and the unemployed workforce. What steps are being taken in the last 2 or 3 years to help close that gap?
The skills gap is growing. If you think about the number of people that might have been employed since 2007 when the recession began and are still unemployed, think about the technology advances that have taken place in the last 2 years. And as I said before, about especially how manufacturing has technology gains. If you're out of the workforce for 2 years, you're losing skills. You're losing technology skills. Unless you keep up with them, there's going to be a skills gap. Same thing is, you know, when you're in high school, you might have been a whiz at algebra and geometry and calculus, and now if you don't use it, it becomes rusty. So we're seeing that. Technology is not slowing down as the recession has slowed down. So we have a skills gap going on from there. What we need to do is, if you are unemployed and looking to get back into the workforce, visit your local job center and see what types of programs they have that can help get your skills back up to snuff. We do have, with the Workforce Investment Act, we have lots of programs for just what we call dislocated workers, or people that have been laid off, to get their skills back up to gear to become in the workforce. There might be short-term courses you could take, some short-term computer courses, or we can help you change your career. If you are in, for example, if you were in manufacturing and you want to look at something different, we do have assessments that you can take to look back in for that. The other thing is, for employers, even though it is tight money, what can they do to help their workforce keep their skills during the recession? There were studies that said, you know, the employers that actually keep training are the ones that are going to come out of the recession better and have long-lasting
benefits.
Benefits, that they will benefit more. We need to, I guess it's your lifelong learning, you know. And employers must ensure that they have lifelong learning for their employees, and people need to take control of their lifelong learning and find out what they can in order to get back in the workforce.
Are there some new trends out there that we're seeing existing businesses adopt? Some of the ideas in the report suggest a greater reliance on temp agencies or more flexibility for the employee, and something called, and love this term, it just rolls right off the tongue, a two-tiered wage and benefits scale.
That was a very interesting report that we found. It was called Creating People Advantage, and it came out right before we produced this report, so it was a last-minute type thing to do. What we found, well, we know that employers go to temp agencies as the economy becomes tight and recessive, and then as we grow out of a recession, that employers look to temp agencies. And that's where a lot of the job creation occurs as we're coming out of a recession. Temp agencies are also good for a dislocated worker to get back into the workforce because they can try out a number of different jobs. They can keep their skills updated while they're in there. This report actually showed that the workers that use more long-term flexibility measures tend to fare better in the cyclical nature of recessions and recovery. If they use things like flex time, if they shorten their work week rather than laying off workers, if they reinforce job mobility, so perhaps in one department of a company you might not need the workers, but if you could move them to another portion of the company, that seems to work better. So one of the things that they found during this recession in a very short-term study, the study need to be longer term, was trends are changing within employers and what they can do to stay viable during a recession and come out of it better. So the things that were more effective were those flexible measures. As I said before, taking time off for overtime, setting up flexible schedules, streamlining your processes, those seem to work better than cutting back training, forcing employees to take their vacation, laying off employees, increasing early retirements, and those types of things, cutting back bonus pays. The things that worked better were keeping those employees motivated and on. So it's going to be very interesting to see as we come out of this recession, what are the long-term effects? Because we don't know right now. People are still very pessimistic that the recession is over, even though it's been declared over. They're very pessimistic. So these studies, we don't have any studies of such a long-term recession since the Great Depression. I found this report that was called, again, Creating People Advantage 2010, put out by Boston Consulting and the World Federation of People Management, that report would have been great for employers to know before we went into the recession, what might work best and what might make me be able to come out of it better. But it just came out. So
what do you see the future holding for jobs in the U.S., the upper Midwest, state of Wisconsin?
What we're seeing for the future in jobs is that it's not enough just to have a high school education or sometimes even associate degree. Like we said, you need to go back and keep learning. We are going to see jobs become more technologically advanced, computers being used for a lot more in manufacturing, it already is, but constantly upgrading. We will see stable, once the economy comes up, we, as I said before, are more stable than the other areas. Our healthcare jobs are going to grow, and we know that. We know as the baby boomers get older, there's going to be a lot more demand on people taking care of people in their homes, because there's a move toward keeping older people out of institutions, out of healthcare facilities, and in their homes as long as possible. So there will be a lot of jobs for personal care workers and people to take care of the elderly in their homes, and then in nursing homes and hospitals. We hope we will see education jobs being stabilized in this area. We've got three great educational institutions. You can see the building that's going on both here at UWL and at Viterbo that that the education jobs will remain stable. I think manufacturing is going to stay strong in our area. We have a good base for manufacturing. We have a specialized base in this area in stainless steel tanks and stainless steel manufacturing, metal manufacturing, equipment manufacturing. And that's a little niche for us. We also have a high concentration of food production. And we just did a regional study with Southeast Minnesota and Northeast Iowa and found that our jobs to grow are where our strengths intersect. For example, where we have manufacturing as a high-growth industry, and we have healthcare as a high-growth industry. As some of our manufacturer jobs might be lost, what can we do to merge healthcare and manufacturing? Can we become a center for biotechnology equipment, or equipment to use medical devices? The same thing with manufacturing and agriculture. So as manufacturing, we might lose some jobs. What can we do to produce windmills? What can we do to produce food manufacturing? So we need to look at where those intersections are and where we can grow new technologies, new jobs. So we think our growth industries are in medical devices, wind energy, biogenetics, composites. We have a strong area of composites in Winona, Minnesota, but we also grow a lot of plants around here. And one of the new industries is actually biocomposites. So it's a composite made out of plant material. And it's new and it's exciting. It'll be interesting to see. There's a little center. There's a center for nanotechnology in our area. Rushford has a nanotechnology center, and that is exciting to see how that will grow.
Beth Sullivan is Director of Corporate Development and Research with Workforce Connections in La Crosse. It's a private nonprofit organization focused on helping people gain employment. She talked with Wisconsin Public Radio's Steve Risom about a State of the Workforce report that was released in October that focuses on the impact of the recession on the Western Wisconsin workforce. A link to that report, as well as Steve's full interview with Beth Sullivan, is available at our website, wpr.org/lacrosse. Coming up in the next half hour, if there's one good thing to come out of this recession as it affects the job market, it may be a trend toward greater flexibility for the employee, the ability to work from home or hours that are more convenient for their family. Mary Meehan Stroob sits down with the employee director of one of the area's largest employers, Gunderson Lutheran, to talk about the growing trend of worker flexibility. You're listening to Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm John Gatto.